This episode is brought to you by Decoy, an acclaimed winery in the Duckhorn portfolio. Make the holidays memorable when you give the gift of wine country with Decoy Wines. Established more than 30 years ago by legendary vendors Dan and Margaret Duckhorn, our roots run deep. From vine to bottle, we craft our wines to the highest standards, using grapes from exceptional vineyards, including from our own estate properties. From our flagship Cabernet Sauvignon and classic Pinot Noir to our iconic Merlot and Chardonnay, Decoy has something for everyone on your holiday list. Ask for us where you buy wine or visit decoywines.com/celebrate to find our wines near you. Whether you're searching for the perfect wine to bring to dinner or shopping for the person who has everything, share the holiday cheer with Decoy by Duckhorn.
Let's go talk to Jim Gomberoni, SpartanMeg.com, the MSU insider. Get his thoughts on Spartan football Saturday, 4 p.m. against Arizona State at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing. How you doing, Gomp?
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you. You doing all right?
I'm doing good. It's amazing how no one's talking about this game.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. You know, last year, of course, Michigan State went out to Arizona State. Really an interesting, challenging environment. Interesting to be there and observe everything. And it was part of a struggling season for Michigan State. But Michigan State led that game 13-3 going into the fourth quarter. Of course, the fourth quarter began at 1 in the morning. And Michigan State's red zone offensive problems throughout the season really began there. Left some points on the table in the red zone a couple times, left them in the game, and it only took one or two assignment errors by the defense, and all of a sudden that game was tied. And so now Arizona State comes in 2-0, beat Kent State, did not look all that good against Sacramento State in winning. They're 2-0. Michigan State's 2-0. I would think Michigan State would be the more motivated team trying to right the wrongs of last year, especially on offense, and gain some revenge. It's not like they have animosity toward Arizona State, but they would like for the Pac-12 visitors to leave knowing that the Michigan State they saw last year is not quite the fair representation of the program. Do I know that to be true? No, but that's what we will be observing on Saturday, and that's what Michigan State's going to be going for.
Jim Gomberoni, SpartanMeg.com, the MSU insider, joining us. Yeah, it's amazing. You get a win, the offense looks good, and we're not sure how bad the Western defense was, but it really did calm down the Spartan Nation.
It did. They looked modern. They looked mainstream. They looked like, I think, what a lot of Michigan State fans were hoping for this season. Now, that was against a Western team that has a good offense, but I would say bottom of the half MAC defense. Not only are they bottom of the half of the MAC in defense, they played a style of defense that Michigan State's very comfortable with, very familiar with. A lot of the quarters coverage, a lot of the blitzing cover three is exactly what Michigan State plays, and that's what this Michigan State offense sees in practice a lot. So it was comfortable for the receivers to find some open spaces, comfortable for Lewerke to make reads, comfortable for the offensive line to know whom to block against the four-man front that Western played, very much like Michigan State's and like a lot of other teams. Tulsa played a 30 front. Arizona State will play a 30. At Michigan State, it's different for the offensive lineman. It is for every college football offensive lineman in the country to switch from going to one type of front to the other. Now Michigan State's offensive line, which was bad in week one, showed progress in week two against a weaker opponent. Now they need to show against a Power 5 conference team and a Pac-12 South Division contender. They need to show on their offensive line that they can block some people that are more in their weight class, and they cannot have a repeat of what happened in week one against Tulsa. And I don't think we will see a repeat of what happened in week one with Tulsa in terms of blocking and offensive problems.
I love how they feature the speed guys, Collins and Stewart. I'm looking at their schedule, and I think the Northwestern game doesn't look as tough as it did before the start of the season, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at Michigan. Is as tough, maybe a little bit tougher based on what Wisconsin has done, and we'll see what they do against Michigan a week from Saturday. So I don't have them in that championship conversation yet. I said it before the year, that defense won't allow them to get beat up by any team, I think, on their schedule. And if that offense can get back to what it was 2 years ago, which it was Saturday night, then I think they could be in the Big Ten East conversation.
Yeah, I think Lewerke looks good again. He's got a lot of experience. He's healthy. he's got a new offense that he's running, and he looked better with the RPOs in week two than he did in week one. In week one, quite frankly, I thought that the RPOs misfired a little bit when he opted for the pass game portion of the RPO rather than handing it off. There were two or three times when Michigan State had numbers advantage for the run game on an RPO, but he pulled it out and threw a screen for a yard gain or no gain out to Darryl Stewart. I don't know this for sure. I have not asked him consciously or subconsciously. I don't think he trusted the running back to hit the hole properly. At that time, it was Connor Hayward or Ladarius Jefferson. So he pulled it out, even though he had a numbers advantage in the run game, and threw it out of the perimeter for the pass part of the run-pass option on a handful of plays. This past weekend with Eli Collins, the new starter, redshirt freshman, Eli Collins just has better vision than the other two running backs. If there's daylight, he has does a better job of finding it. Not only can he find the daylight, he's quicker to the hole, quicker with a jump cut, quicker with acceleration, and he doesn't leave much to be desired in terms of breaking tackles. He can do that also. That's why he started over Jefferson and Hayward. Jefferson and Hayward can still be serviceable players, but unless something changes, if they all remain healthy, I would imagine Collins has that job for the rest of the season and brings some more gears and dynamic to the run game, which gives Lewerke more trust in the run part of the game when the RPOs are starting to click. So it's all still a work in progress. It'll be start number two for Eli Collins, so we continue to learn more about that redshirt freshman as we go, as we do with the offense in general.
Jim Comperani, SpartanMag.com, the MSU Insider, joining us. Also, it might be the most anticipated game at the Breslin ever, and that's not hyperbole or overhyping it, but Michigan State now is the Duke game in the Big Ten ACC Challenge on December 3rd now set for 9:30 p.m. at the Breslin?
I think that's true, yes. That'll be fun to watch Duke come to town anytime that happens. It's a major sporting event in the state of Michigan, and I would anticipate both teams being in the top five at that time. A rematch from last year's regional final in Washington, D.C., which sent Michigan State to the Final Four. Tom Izzo's eighth Final Four. Michigan State has risen back up as a power again under Tom Izzo, and they'll be looking to prove that they're there to stay this year as well, and there's no better test than Duke. And, yeah, that's going to be a tremendous event for Breslin. Will it be when they played Michigan last year for the Big Ten title, going for a two-game sweep, which turned out to be a three-game sweep with the Big Ten tournament a couple of weeks later, I think that one is going to be hard to equal in terms of long-term magnitude, impact, bragging rights, and where your program is. But maybe not. Maybe that Duke game early in the season will match up. It's two different flavors, but certainly two terrific games in Breslin about, 10 months apart.
Yeah, hard to believe. October 29th, that exhibition game against Albion, that would be, what are we nearing, 6 weeks away? Give or take, right? That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they begin practice, I think, in 2 weeks. Midnight Madness, they've not announced it yet, but I suspect it might be, I'm not sure when that'll be. I won't even guess on that one, but I think they begin practice on the 24th, which is, less than 2 weeks. They'll begin practicing, and then Midnight Madness is a couple of weeks after that. Cassius Winston, returning as a senior, a guy that's really beloved around the country with the run that they went on last year, a fourth-year senior, a different type of standout college player. If he has the season people are expecting and the team has the season that many are expecting, it'll be interesting to see what kind of support he gets for National Player of the Year honors. Not a guy that's going to be drafted in the top 10 or top 20 or top 25. A different type of throwback college player, and I think a lot of people nationally are going to appreciate that because they began to know who he was last year. Now they get him back for another year nationally.
Yeah, November 5th, they're going to get Kentucky in that annual quad little give and take there with the big boys in college basketball. That also will be a 9:30 tip. Schedule looks solid early. Seton Hall, Vodtech. Man, you're going to get Big Ten games early in December. They're preseason number one pretty much in every poll I've seen. And like I said, practice in a couple of weeks. Here comes the basketball season. It just seems like last week they were in Minneapolis. Wow, that's a quick off season.
Goes by fast.
Sure does, Jim.
In the old days, basketball didn't start for another month or so. They've sped it up for some reason, I guess television and money. But, it's a short off season.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. What they get, by the time they get to Duke, I mean, before Duke, they'll play Dayton or Georgia. They'll play Va Tech. They'll play Seton Hall. They'll play Kentucky. That's before they get to December 3rd in the Big Ten.
Wow.
My Lord. That'll be good. Can't wait to watch him. Comperoni, he's SpartanMeg.com's lead guy. MSU Insider and the Huge Radio Network. Everything Michigan State sports 24/7 at SpartanMeg.com. Comp, thanks for the update. We'll talk next week and look back at Michigan State hosting Arizona State.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, Jim Comperoni talking Spartan hoops and football.